Recently, I went to Apple's games site and downloaded a bunch of puzzle-slash-arcade games. I was dismayed to find that many of these games were distributed in formats other than UDIF, the DMG format, so clearly this may bears some explanation. A brief history of compression and archiving. First, a couple definitions. A compression format contains compressed data. Data that has been fit into less space than it would without compression. GZIP format is a good example of this. A GZIP file is nothing but compressed data. It doesn't even contain a file name. That's worked out from the name of the GZIP file. For example, if you download foo.tar.gz and rename it bar.tar.gz and gunzip it, you will get a file named bar.tar. An archive format aggregates one or more files into a single file. US TAR format, the format used by TAR and PAC, see below, is a good example of this. It isn't compressed, unless you compress it with GZIP, BZIP2, or something else, but it is an archive format. On macOS, that is, before Mac OS X, almost all software was distributed in StuffIt format. StuffIt was software developed by Aladdin Systems, now Allume Systems. Before StuffIt caught on, the Mac market was majorly ruled by Compaq Pro, but StuffIt, combined with apathy from the author, defeated it. The StuffIt format was both an archive format and a compression format. A StuffIt file was an archive of files whose contents were compressed. StuffIt achieved its greatest popularity with the advent of the Internet. macOS applications could not be transmitted over networks, because most of their essential parts were in the resource fork, which was omitted when a file was sent to another operating system or copied to another file system. StuffIt, being data fork only, kept everything intact. Mac binary was another archive format, developed separately, that served that purpose but did not offer compression. In the interest of being thorough, I should mention that Mac binary and binhex were also used on top of StuffIt files. .sit.bin and .sit.hqx, respectively. MacBinarying a StuffIt file accomplished exactly nothing. You were wrapping what was already wrapped. Binhex was useful if the file was believed likely to undergo newline conversion, conversion between carriage return, which indicated a newline on the Apple II and Mac OS, line feed, which indicated a newline on Unix, and carriage return and line feed, which indicated a new line on DOS and Windows. But I think such situations were really the minority. Eventually, Allume completely replaced the old StuffIt formats, there are at least four versions, with StuffIt X. StuffIt X supported much more detail on how the compression was specified, as well as Unicode file names, 64-bit dates, packages, folders that behave as files, e.g. .app bundles, and stronger encryption. But it never achieved popular usage for two reasons. The first reason was simply that StuffIt 6 through 8 sucked. The larger reason is that OS X has its own facilities for archiving, compressing, and expanding files. macOS had, for many years, I used it on a Mac Plus and SE30, among other models, an application called Disk Copy. You'd open Disk Copy, then insert a floppy disk. 80mm, aka 3.5-inch disks, were the prevailing medium of the day. Disk copy would read from the disk, then prompt you to insert a blank disk or cancel. You could do this as many times as you wanted. Thus, disk copy was a disk duplication, i.e. copying, program. In disk copy version 4.2, I think, Apple added the ability to create disk images. A disk image is literally a snapshot of the contents of a disk. Disk copy was able to both create and apply these disk images. The idea was that you could make an image of a disk, make 100 copies, sell them all, then come back with another box of disk and make 100 more copies. Resumable duplication, in effect, without having to read the disk in each time. It was also possible to distribute disk images by compressing them and/or sending them over the internet, so that the image could be applied to floppy disks by separate individuals. Disk copy also had the ability to mount these images. This was the equivalent of putting the disk in as it would show up on the desktop, but you could have incinerated the original real disk and it would still work. Everything was read from the disk image. Once the internet got popular, it was possible to send a disk image to somebody else, and they could make their own floppy disks from the disk image. Around the time of System 7.5, Apple began distributing SMIs, self-mounting images. Regular disk images were disk copy documents, so when you opened one, disk copy would launch to take care of it. An SMI had the disk mounting code in it, so you didn't need disk copy anymore. I think disk copy was made a custom install option at this point. Disk copy 6 introduced a new format called NDIF, New Disk Image Format, which came in several variants, a read-write format, a read-only uncompressed format, and two read-only compressed formats. One was using an unknown codec, and the other using a proprietary Apple codec named KenCode. Independently of all this, Unix in all its flavors, and later GNU operating systems as well, had a program called TAR. TAR is a tape archive program, designed for recording and playing back backup tapes. At some point, TAR gained the ability to make tape archive files, now colloquially known as tarballs. This is the -F part of tar-cf. Tarballs in this way are analogous to disk images. The TAR format was eventually standardized as US TAR. The Unix philosophy of software design is do one thing well. So the TAR format and its companion application in all its various separate implementations never gained any sort of compression. Instead, various compression programs are used in series upon the TAR data. The original way to do this was tar-cf-files, pipe, compress, redirect to foo.tar.z. Eventually, gzip replaced compress, and not long after, GNU-tar introduced a -z option that made tar do the pipeline into gzip for you. Thus were compression and archiving merged in the Unix world. With macOS 10, disk copy came back, and SMIs went away, and a new disk image format was introduced, UDIF. Like StuffedX, UDIF was created to handle all the new and improved metadata supported by HFS Plus, most conspicuously Unicode file names, as well as strong AES 128 encryption. The old disk images had a file name extension of .img. This, unfortunately, was quite a common extension, used by at least one other imager and at least one picture format. So UDIF was given the filename extension of .dmg. UDIF is a very flexible format. It comes in many variants. As of macOS 10.4.3, these include read-only uncompressed, read-write uncompressed, read-only ADC compression, another Apple codec, read-only zlib compression, read-only bzip2 compression, entire device, I don't know what that means, UDIF stub, I don't know what that means, DVD/CD master, and sparse. These were taken from the man page for HDI Util. Numerous other formats have existed for many years, specifically zip on Windows, and gzip and bzip2 on Unix and Linux, and StuffIt Expander has supported all of them since 3.0, bzip2 since maybe 5. But in OS X, StuffIt Expander, which came with the OS until Tiger, showed its age. Versions 6 through 8 were slow and ugly. This got better with version 9, but by that time, StuffIt Expander lost to the alternative that also came with the OS, Disk Copy, which merged with Disk First Aid and Drive Setup to form Disk Utility in Jaguar. For several years, most software for macOS 10 was distributed in the form of zlib compressed DMG. But now, things have deteriorated.